You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Lunch Break ABCs. This is episode number 14 of Lunch Break ABCs. As you know, the topics we talk about here, all of us together, are voted on by you and only you. We talk about what you want to hear about. And today we're talking all about how to effectively network in 2024. You might be saying 2024 is not here yet. What are you talking about? It's coming up soon. At first, we're like, how to network in 2023? And then Ben brought a good point. He's like, 2023 is over, bro. He's like, let's look to the future. What do we need to do to network in this new world, this modern world? We all know that this concept of networking changed dramatically, especially during the pandemic when everyone was inside, right? That's how I met all of you, was through the pandemic. And today we're going to talk about, what does it look like moving forward? Is it a hybrid? Is it still all online? Is it all in person? Is it based on what works best for you? We're going to talk about how to network, the benefits of networking. And you guys tell me like what you think. I think a really cool way to start this would be to talk about how each of us met through networking. I don't know specifically with you, Andrew and Ben, but I met Christine through a LinkedIn webinar thing that we did at the very beginning of 2021. It was called Level Up Your Business. That's how I met Christine. And then we've gone from there through networking to start a business together, to deliver trainings together, to podcast together, to becoming friends. And then Christine did what she calls a networking bomb, which I'm sure we'll talk about. And that's how I met Ben. And then through Ben and doing the show, that's how I met Andrew. So we're only here because of our topic today. So that just goes to show the power of networking. So how did you guys, want to give like a rundown on how you met? Was it through networking or how did that come?
I'll give my rundown. So I started a podcast, it's been about 2 years now. So that was 2021. So started it and was kind of just looking in my immediate network for people that I could bring on to interview. One of them was a person who used to be a former personal training client. And so sat down, kind of had a little breakfast with her, kind of chatted with her a little bit. And she's like, hey, you know, like just your, you know, just the way you are, your energy, your, the podcast you're talking about doing, you remind me of somebody that I already know. So the lady's name's Kristen Fragnoli. And she's like, you got to meet this guy, Ben. I think you and Ben would totally hit it off. You guys got to connect. So it started by me networking and just reconnecting with a former client and her recommending that I connect with Ben. And as we know, I think all roads lead back to Ben most of the time. And so I got connected with Ben, and then Ben's kind of opened my world and connecting me with all kinds of people, you guys included. So that was kind of how I got in touch with Ben.
Yeah, and I'll jump off on that. I met Kristen through my podcast. I forget who nominated her, but I had a guest on my show, and I utilize the podcast as a networking tool. I'm like, I'm having great conversations with business leaders. Let's just punch record and record these conversations while we network and get to know each other. And Kristen was introduced as a nomination for the show. Then she connected the dots between me and Andrew. And another guest and good friend of mine, Nick Koziel, has a podcast. Christine was on Nick's show. Mm-hmm. I recall listening to that episode. I think he made that intro. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty darn sure Nick made that intro that led to Christine making that bomb where I met Brandon. And it's like an infinity loop of great people meeting each other. It's brilliant. It's cyclical.
It's really wild with networking. Like, you start to see the same people just show up again and again and again, because when you're in a specific group like podcasting or online business or even co-working, I'm sure you've met some really cool people through your co-working ventures, Christine. You just start to see the same people pop up over and over and over. And if you haven't met and talked to those people, it's like, well, I should really meet that person. I see him over and over and over. And you never know that next connection, the next connection that could become a great business opportunity, or even, which is more cool, even a friend that you have in your life that you talk to, and they're just as close to you as someone that you met organically in the wild, right? Which is how I guess we used to all meet, really, before Zoom was like a more natural thing. So, Christine, I'd like to ask you this, because you are the Obi-Wan Kenobi of networking, and maybe you can explain to people what that means and why that is important, that phrase. But why, for those who are like, networking, like, what's the point of networking? what's the benefit of networking in this modern world that we're in today?
So, I mean, networking in general has been around forever, right? We just never have put a word to what that is. And, you know, you're talking about like in the wild, right? Like we've met somebody in like all these different ways. Networking, it should be an intentional way to build your community, right? I don't care what position you're in, job you have, where you're going, where you're coming from, even if you're not working right now, you're a stay-at-home mom, stay-at-home dad, like you should actually still be networking because you just don't know or can predict where you're going to be in 5 years. And maybe you have ideas of where you want to be in 5 years. Well, what are you doing to make sure that those things happen? You need to have access to other people who have different skills, experience, and connections than you in order to, you know, progress down that road. And I think networking under normal circumstances is only thought of as a means to an end, to get a sale, right? Like that's usually what the conversations are. You know, if I ask people why, you know, what is the purpose of networking? Well, it's to build, you know, my network and to get sales, right? Like, what does building your network actually mean? Like, what is that supposed to do for you? Like, have you actually evaluated what that could look like? And, you know, during COVID, we all were kind of pushed into that uncomfortableness of, well, you know, I need that community, you know, I lost my job, or like all these things changed all at once. And we were forced to kind of look at that, right? So it kind of naturally put people into that, well, I got a network because I'm by myself. Like there's no one to talk to. I can't just go out to a bar. I can't just go out to a networking event. It doesn't exist, right? So, you know, it forced people to have those different conversations and look at networking somewhat differently. But now that, you know, we're back to what I would consider more normal, people still go back to the old ways, right? Networking is just for sales. You know, I'm going to do it hot and heavy because it's slow right now. And then, you know, as it gets better, I'm going to kind of pull away, right? No, you should be networking all the time, you know, consistently. You know, the tortoise and the hare type situation, right? You know, the tortoise is slow and steady and wins the race. So, you know, going about it like that is super important because you just don't know, like Brandon said, who you're going to meet. You don't know who they know. There is that 6 degrees of separation. It's happened to me over and over and over and over again from all over the world. Like, it's not even like, oh, just in our small Albany, right? Like, I've had people from other countries in drastic time zones introduce me to people in other parts of the world who already knew me, or like, there was 3 people different, you know, from that introduction. So you just don't know, right? Like if you want access, if you want growth, you need to constantly be meeting new people. And it doesn't mean like, you know, when I was a financial advisor, I was having like 25 meetings a week. Like that's crazy. You don't need to do that. But you should definitely, in a given month, you should have met a couple new people. And when you have those conversations, you know, hopefully you're having impactful conversations so that they can continue talking about you. So that circle continues and those ripples continue.
So let me just throw out there the way that I thought about networking and still to a point think about networking. I'm an introvert who performs a role in business that requires you be an extrovert in a big way. So I can turn on that switch and be an extrovert when needed. But when I think about going to a networking event, even sometimes if it's like a Zoom networking event, like I'm going to be honest with you, Ben, when you invited me to the Grow Getters, which I think that and I've been a part of probably close to 10 networking group calls, some more than others. I think that you put on the best networking event that I've ever been to, especially virtually, because I've never been to one of yours in person. I think Christine does fantastic in-person events, but you'd throw a fantastic virtual experience. And I'll tell you why you did in a few minutes here. But even when you invited me to do that as a speaker, I was like, awesome. I love speaking to people. I love doing activities like that. No problem. But when I notice that there's 2 time blocks for networking, a part of me tenses up and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to have to talk to people in a room, right? And some people might hear that, especially natural extroverts, maybe some of you even, and you're like, oh, that's no problem. Just ask people what they do, talk about you. But when I think about how do I talk about me? How do I talk about what I do? Like all these different fears and anxieties come up. where I get nervous about going to situations like that. Even when I've gone to like chamber events and events where I don't know anyone, like you just have these fears of, are people going to like me? Or am I going to be alone? Am I actually going to be talking to anybody? Am I going to know anyone in the room? If I don't know anybody, are people going to come up to me? Should I go up to them? Like there's so many different fears and anxieties when it comes to networking. And I have all of them, and I've gotten better at it because it is a muscle. But even today, like, I find myself maybe even missing opportunities because I'm not putting myself out there and networking more than I should. And just like you said, Ben, our podcast gives us the opportunity to network without technically networking. We're interviewing great people and asking them great questions, but then they become a part of our network and they become a friend of ours. But if I didn't have that podcast, like many people don't have a podcast, you have to intentionally go out there and meet people. Right? It's like, does anyone here share that feeling with me? Has anyone gotten over that?
Listen, I have that feeling, and I am the Obi-Wan Kenobi of networking. Like, it is hard to, like, I would say, like, public events are challenging, right? Because what we do as humans, we tend to gravitate towards people we already know, right? It's super hard to break the wall of introducing yourself to someone you don't know. And it's because of the fear of rejection, right? It's why dating is so challenging. And I compare networking to dating all the time because it's exactly the same, right? If you are that creepy guy at the bar, like, you're not going to bring anybody home. So, like, stop, right? So, you know, thinking about everyone is having the same experience as you, right? It's super hard, even for the people who are extroverted. Some days you just are like, ah, I'm not feeling it today. I'm not feeling as confident. And then there's some days you're like, I don't care. I got this, right? I can go up to somebody and, you know, crack a joke and it's on and everybody laughs, right? And then there's some days you completely fall on your face. So I think just realizing that nobody knows what you're going to say. People are so heavily involved and they care way too much about what other people think. They're probably not even going to realize if you screwed up, if you gave them, you know, a whiplash statement or an elevator pitch or whatever, they're not going to notice your awkwardness. Most likely they're probably feeling that way too. And I think knowing that is a little bit helpful going into a networking event, that a lot of people are here because they're like, I have to get out. But taking that extra step to network and mingle, is hard, but I think knowing that other people are having that challenge too can give you a little bit of a breath of fresh air. Like, no, it's okay. We all have a hard time with this. You know, just go and have a good time. I usually recommend people approach events as a barbecue. Don't go with the intention of handing out a bunch of business cards. Go with the intention of making a couple quality connections of people you're going to want to talk to outside of this event, that you're going to want to get to know. And even I've even had people go in as a helper. So like somebody else in your network has probably asked for something at one point or another fairly recently. You know, they're looking for a job. They're looking for a connection to somebody. Go in with that. Go in and be like, hey, you know, I'm really looking for somebody that does blah, blah, blah. Or, hey, I'm really looking for help in doing this. It's amazing the conversation that changes now because you're not approaching it from like, hey, buy my stuff. It's like, hey, I need help with something. And most people want to help. And they're more likely to connect you with other people while you're at the event, right? Oh, hey, you should meet my friend Julie. And hey, you should meet my friend Tom. They might have access, or hey, that person does that. And not only are you getting those introductions, but it's not like, hey, you should meet someone because, hey, they're going to sell you stuff. Hey, you should meet someone because I think they can help you. And it takes like the grossness and the ickiness of networking out completely.
One thing I love that you just said was go in to have a good time. Like, have the intention that I'm going to go have fun. And I know personally, I don't necessarily like to do weird, random things alone. One thing you missed, Brandon, and I appreciate the compliment, but our events wouldn't be anything without Andrew. I do some of the planning on the back end, but he's like our energetic, fearless host that comes in, brings everyone's energy up, and it's way more fun having him with me. It's way more fun being in a group of growth-oriented people. So when you're going to an event, possibly see if you can bring a friend. Don't sidebar and just talk to them. I mean, I love bonding with somebody, but go to bring a friend and then go and talk to people you know, go and have fun. Another thing, I'm just jumping all around because Christine nailed so many things on the head, but we talk about the dating thing and like the needy person at the bar that's turning everybody off. It's because they have commission breath. They're very forward. They're kind of just disgusting in how they present themselves. The person that's having a good time, doesn't matter if you're male, female, the bartender, the guy at the door, you're smiling, you're shaking hands, you're giving high fives. You're going to attract energy towards you because you're just there having a good time meeting people, you know, spreading the love. If you go in saying, Brandon's my target, I need to find my way to Brandon and sell him all my services because I can help him, you're going to give off an energy that people are going to pick up on. And if you go in and you just go, wow, Christina, I love your hair. Andrew, you're full of energy. Oh, Brandon's going to see that Ben's over here having a good time. And then we're naturally going to be attracted to each other. So if you want something, you don't want to go in all needy trying to attack it. Just go in to have a good time. Bring a friend. Treat it like, you know, you're just going out with buddies. You don't care what the outcome is. And then the beauty is you end up with positive outcomes.
Well, that's the difference, is yeah. You don't care about the outcome. I think that is the hugest misconception that people have with networking, is they're fixated on, I'm going to capture a sale. They're equating networking to sales, which it's right. A part of that process. But networking is the early on process. You're supposed to be building relationships, establishing trust, establishing your brand and your reputation at this time, not, you know, throwing business cards and saying like, well, call me if you have somebody who has this, right? Like, no, that's not the reality. Like, we need to get to know you a little bit more. Okay, well, what are you offering? How are you doing it differently than someone else? Who else are you working with that might work with those people? And, you know, yada, 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 right? But, you know, removing yourself from the end result, I think in this type of scenario is super helpful, because then you become more resourceful. One of the biggest changes I had, because I have totally been that person. I'm sure everyone on this call has, and people listening have, right? And if you haven't changed that, you need to, right? Your financial advisor, your realtor, like every industry is guilty of this. And as soon as I went to the resource approach, like how can I help you be interconnected? I became way more connected because everyone came to me because they're like, oh, well, you know everybody, which is hilarious because I don't know everybody. Everyone thinks I do, but I don't. I absolutely don't know everybody. But I can absolutely help with that connection. And when you help people bridge the gaps, they also want to know what you do. Well, what else are you solving for? Right. Oh, I have all these other list of things that I solve for that I can charge for. Right. And then, you know, that's how you find your appropriate client avatars and people that will do business with you. And it's less of a hassle. I don't know about you guys, but like, it's nice to get business from people and there's no fighting. Like, I didn't have to fight to get them here, right? Like, they didn't, it was a nice, smooth process because they heard about me from someone else. They've worked with me in a different capacity. They've been following me this whole time. Like, you know, whatever it was just easy.
Yeah. I think you guys are talking about something really critical. Like, just the whole expectation going into it is, what are you expecting from your networking, right? A lot of people go in with the expectation, I'm going to try and get some clients. I'm going to try and do this, and that. And they go into it with this mindset of, I'm going to attend one networking event, and I need that one networking event to lead to multiple phone calls and leads and prospects that come from that. And the truth is, no one networking event typically does it for you. It's never like, oh, that was my paycheck for the year because I went to that networking event. I could pinpoint it right there.
Except for ours, Andrew.
Right? Exactly. Our events. Come to our events, and that's what happens. But like, really what it is it's kind of that, like, it's a system. It's just the way that you go about your life. And if networking is a part of your system, if networking is a part of the way that you operate, then you will get those leads. You will find those prospects. You will advance that goal, whatever that end goal is, more naturally. But when you go out looking for that one-to-one, I attend one networking event, I need one sale, is you're going to miss it, or you're going to stop networking because you didn't get the immediate result from that.
Right.
So I enjoy hunting. And I remember there's a season that I went out and my wife goes really disappointed when I came home after a day of hunting and I didn't have anything. You know, empty handed. And she was like, you know, man, like, you know, you went out hunting, you're spending all this time. And it's like, some of it is just like, just to get out there, just to be outside, just to go and enjoy. Like the experience itself needs to be something that you're going there for. And then the results will end up following that. And in the case of networking, that's the end goal. As you go in, you experience it, you live it, you add as much as you can to it. And out of that, you'll get those disproportionate results, more results than you expect. But you got to keep the expectations low at the same time.
So on that note, keeping the expectations low, going along with what Christine said, it's really important that networking isn't the sole strategy of yours in business. And keeping the outcome out of it is huge too. And I want to ask you guys, what mistakes have you made on learning networking on your own journey? And the reason I ask you that is I've worked with many people who have used networking as a reason and an excuse for not making sales. And I'll explain. They're in sales where if they don't have a client who buys from them, they don't make any money. They're 100% commission, 1099. And they would make their entire strategy networking and sitting down with people and going to get coffee and being on Zoom. And every day they would find pride in having five new people that they're meeting every single day. But they would meet these five people. They wouldn't focus on adding the value. Maybe they just went right for the pitch. They wouldn't focus on managing their portfolio of new connections. And then they would come back to me after a month and say, I haven't made any new sales, but I've been networking all month. And it's like, okay, well, what other outreach strategies have you tried? Because networking is powerful, but networking is certainly not a short-term solution. Like, I've never collected money from any of you. Well, I take that back. Christine and I have both collected money from each other in various ways, but we never created that connection to sell to each other, right? So you have to be very intentional about your sales strategy, and networking should be a piece of your strategy, but not the overarching strategy. So Kilna Samat wrote, how does one prepare selling points for a networking event? So I'd like to ask you guys this, because maybe I don't have the best answer to this. Do you go into a networking event with selling points? Like, what do you – yeah, you're shaking your head, Christine. What do you think about this question?
No.
Thank you for asking the question, by the way.
If you're going to a networking event, your intention should be to make connections. Like, the point of the networking event is to kind of – like, I'm trying to put like a good visual, like you're trying to get those ripples going, right? And the act of showing up is part one. The second part is you need to have quality conversations, right? Like, you know, if we were talking about like the whiplash statement versus the elevator pitch, you're talking about a selling point. Like, you should be talking and asking for things that is going to resonate with somebody. So like, I'm going to pick on a realtor for a second, but usually a lot of times realtors say like, oh, I'm looking for first-time home buyers. Like, or I'm looking for people looking for investment properties. Well, under normal circumstances, those aren't conversations going on. Like, no one's raising their hand and saying, oh, I'm a first-time home buyer. Like, that's not happening in normal conversations.
Hello, my name's Andrew. I'm a first-time home buyer. Yeah. Exactly. My name's Andrew. I don't have any insurance. Are you an insurance
person? Yeah, no. Exactly. I need insurance, right? Like, those are not things that are happening. But what is happening are the things that are leading up to that point that could solve that problem, right? So somebody that I would label as like a first-time home buyer, what happened to turn that? Maybe someone died. They got married. They had a child. Like, they graduated from college, or they graduated from graduate school, right? Hey, I'm looking for people who are recent college graduates. I'm looking for, people that are in HR. I'm looking for people who are career coaches. Like, those should be the better asks if you're at like a networking event, or having those networking conversations, because that is going to yield the quality connection and potential sale that you are looking for. So going back to the original question, how do you prepare selling points? You should understand fully who your client avatars are, to the point where you can give three clear words, not sentences, not stories. I'm looking for somebody who has an Amazon addiction, is really far up in their company. They make really good money, but they complain about where they're at financially. Like, those are things that are very easy for someone someone can pick one of those things and remember that, and they're probably going to hear about it, right? Because people say things all the time that absolutely can lead to anyone for any type of service or product. But I don't think people are not approaching it that way. They're like, oh, you know, I want to work with somebody who, you know, financial advisors are guilty of it, right? They have $250,000 in the bank. Cool. But how am I going to know that? Like, is anyone walking around saying that? Not usually, no. And if they are, they probably have it taken care of by somebody, right? And the ones that don't, they're not talking about it, right? Like, that's not a normal conversation that we're having with friends. Hey, I have, you know, $500,000 in the bank. I don't know what to do with it. Like, that's not happening, you know, but the conversation could be, well, what are the problems that they're having? What are they trying to do with the money? What are they unhappy about? Or what are they happy about? What do they want to try? What, you know, what opportunities are they missing out on because they're not having just, you know, someone helping them manage those things, right? So, you know, it's looking at it completely differently. There should never be a sales pitch or conversation at networking events. It should be, who's going to open those doors for me? Who's going to know me well enough to be able to make that connection to that quality person that fills all of the avatar, you know, buckets, and you might have different kinds, that you're going to be able to seamlessly transition into a sale without having to hard sell. Like, you should never have to hard sell and, you know, strong arm somebody into working with you.
One thing I'd recommend, and piggybacking right off that know your avatar idea, is when you describe what you do, describe it in such a way where you kind of start including who you love to work with. And mm-hmm. as you're describing who you love to work with, a lot of times people describe it this first way. They'll describe it in such a way where someone says, oh, there's definitely people out there that are like that. What you want is when you finish describing it, someone says, oh, you need to meet Ben, right? Because that's what happened in a networking conversation I had. We got a great conversation. You know who you need to meet? You need to meet Ben, right? Because of the way that I described stuff, because of the way I talked about the podcast, because I talked to about what I was trying to do, bing, 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 right? Alarm bells went off of like, this is the person. This is the ideal person you need to connect with. And so that's my biggest recommendation, is when you describe stuff, they don't think in general, they think specifically. They know exactly who you're talking about that they know.
That's why keywords are important for that.
I'm going to jump off with the keywords. I've got two tangible points, and it starts with, generally in a conversation, I don't like to do a ton of the topic talking. So I'll literally say, and it's a canned line, like, you know, I host a podcast. I've been talking all day. I'm a little tired. I don't even know why I'm here. You tell me why you're here. What's up? What brought you here today? And I'll pass it to them. If they're like, hey, what do you do? I'll be like, you know, I host a podcast, but I've been talking all day. Tell me about what you do. Tell me about what brought you here today. Then I'll get them talking so I can understand who they are, who they serve. And this is sales, really. Understand who they are, who they serve, why they're there. Then when I talk, I can tailor my response around them and the network they're building and not around me. And again, it's sales, but it's not salesy, super casual. I like starting with like a sentence like, you know how. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how business owners get stressed, you know, they're out of time, but they're trying to scale their business with more money and trying to figure out the online world. We make that simpler for them. Something like that. Like, I'm an online marketer. You know how businesses, they're trying to save time. They're trying to make money. They're trying to scale their business. But with AI and all the technology, the world's getting crazy. We just help with that. And again, it's kind of an elevator pitch, but it's not like super pointed. It's not super aggressive. But it explains the three main categories, like Christy was talking about, the three main categories that you can help with. And then you can kind of tailor that around who they are, because a realtor is going to have a different reason for being there than a C-suite executive. And you can tailor the response. I mean, if I'm talking to a C-suite executive, I just say, you know how you've got to manage a large team, but your company still wants to get the impact to the people that deserve their product, but there's the executives like crazy busy. We help executives take marketing off their table so they can go and impact more people. Again, that needs a little bit of workshopping, but based on who I'm talking to, I just kind of swap it based around how I can help them. but I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. And that's why my examples are kind of half-baked. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth until I hear what they do, why they're there, what's up. And then I just tailor my response on how I help people like them.
One thing I would recommend is, and this will kind of be my final point on kind of the one-to-one style networking, is just get fascinated. Just be genuinely interested in other people. And again, kind of like Ben brought up this word, and I love this phrase, commission breath. I've got to use this elsewhere. Well, you can smell it. It stinks. And so if you can go in, though, and just be genuinely interested in other people, number one, that shows up. People recognize that and they gravitate towards that. And then this question right here is how I have almost all of my conversations. That's really cool. Tell me more about that. Or, and just literally just whatever they just said, like, just dive deeper. And, like, not in a fake way, like, oh, you're talking about motorcycles. I don't like motorcycles, right? So if someone's talking about that, I'm not going to get all that interested. But if they brought up something else that was interesting to me, and I also found it interesting how excited they were about it, follow it. Follow their passion. Follow their excitement. Follow their energy. And guess what? It guarantees a great conversation because they are good conversationalists on stuff that they know a lot about, on stuff that they're passionate about and that they're excited about. Find what someone cares about. Find what someone's passionate about, what they can get excited about. And sometimes you'll get to the end of a conversation and you're like, they don't even know my name. Like, they don't even know who I am or what I do, but they love me. We had a great connection. And guess what? I can share more about me and more about my stuff in maybe a future conversation, in a follow-up call, in some other time when we want to connect. But now what we've done, though, is we've made a great connection. And that's how it starts, right? You can't come in cold pitching. You know, it's like when you send somebody a DM on LinkedIn or when you receive those DMs on LinkedIn and it's just someone just cold pitching you. And you're like, who are you? What are you doing here? Right? There's no connection first. Is connect first and then start escalating that relationship. Then start bringing it somewhere else from there. Best way to connect is tell me more about that.
You don't want to pitch slap people is what they call it. Pitch slapping. Hey, nice to meet you. Spa.
And then you breathe in their face with your commission breath.
I would add to Andrew's tip. So if you are out networking, and you can kind of really be generally interested in, you know, what people have to say. If you actually get really good at networking, you can make introductions right then and there because they're going to come up with stuff. Like they're going to start talking and rattling off and people are going to start popping into your brain. And I would highly recommend making introductions right then and there. It gives you two things. You're going to have access to them on LinkedIn. Hopefully they have a LinkedIn profile, or you're going to get their phone number right then and there. And you can make a live connection. So you've done a couple things, right? You have their information for future follow-up. You've also provided value without actually asking for anything in return. Because of the connection that you made either via text message or like a LinkedIn DM. And I will try and do that at events, and it's highly impactful. Like I literally had, I've had people, they're like, oh, you're the one that gives 15 introductions at a meeting. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And some people, like, they've met me just for that reason because they want access to my, you know, to my circle. I'm like, listen, like, I'll give you access, but I can't say if other people are going to kick you out. Right. This isn't just about sales. It's about, you know, those quality relationships and, you know, finding people that might really connect really well. Like, you know, how Andrew connected with Ben because somebody was like, hey, they have similar personalities or they would feed really well off each other. I think that would work out perfectly. And that's what happened to Brandon and I. We were introduced because of Brian Rollo, and it just kind of, I don't even think we met prior to that event, or if we did, it was super briefly. And then, you know, Brandon and I talk all the time, right? So you just never know. But adding value and being that resource is also a huge way to have people remember you.
Hey, something that might be really cool to do, and let me know if you guys are up for it, but it'd be cool to share maybe like the one situation or opportunity that comes to your mind when you think about an unexpected way that networking changed your life or benefited you in recent history, just to kind of paint a picture for people on what the power of networking can do. Do you think that's something that we can do?
Oh, for sure. I'll pick this up.
Okay, cool.
So I mentioned this on one of our previous episodes, but the last two jobs I've gotten came from networking, and specifically networking through podcasting. And the second previous job, so first job, was at a Chamber of Commerce, actually. And so it's kind of starting my podcast, and like right around the time I met Ben was when I was reaching out to other people. And I reached out to the guy that ran the local Chamber of Commerce. And so I was like, hey, want to get connected? He's like, hey, super busy. Follow up with me. Great. Followed up with him. Hey, I'm still really busy. But, you know, I kind of looked at your profile, kind of checked you out a little bit. I've got a job opening. You're interested in talking about that. And I was like, yes, I am. So we chatted and ended up taking that role. And it was awesome. And then again, podcasting, getting to know other people, kind of kept that whole thing running. Had someone else on my show, super interesting. And guy's named Chandler Bolt runs a company called selfpublishing.com, which is where I work now. And so when I interviewed him, it was purely just education. I loved learning, loved connecting, and I just want to know more about it and help my audience know more about publishing and self-publishing. And often what I'll try to do with certain people that I'm like, I had a really good connection with that person, or I didn't quite have the connection I wanted to, but I want more. So he was one person I'm like, I want more. And so I kind of made him like a priority on my LinkedIn profile, and like just kept following up with his posts. Like I'd like them, I'd try to share them, or, you know, the next week he shared one of a job opening.
He froze right on.
And then the next week, he had another job opening that he posted about. And did I freeze?
You're back.
Okay, I'm back.
I had a pause, and I was like, "Dude, this is expert level speaking right here."
I love it. Where did I freeze? I don't even remember.
You said he shared a post of a job opening.
Oh yeah. He shared a post of a job opening. I connected a couple of my friends to it. And then the next week he shared another job opening. I checked that one out and like, ta-da, I'm a perfect fit for that role. Right. Applied, end up getting the job. And so for me, I wasn't looking for any of those jobs. That was not on my radar. It was not something I was considering, but it happened because I was networking. Those were just doors of opportunity that just swung open just because I was connecting with people, adding value and trying to be helpful.
That's a great story. And look where it led you. You've been doing that now. How long have you been in this role now?
It's been a year.
So this current role, about a year. Actually, a year as of the 31st of this month. So Halloween.
Awesome, dude.
So yeah, 1 year.
Congrats, brother. That's huge. What a cool story, though. So you're from a social network, from networking. That's amazing. So I'll share one real quick. So I had a customer recently. So I'm in sales. I've been in the same sales business for 11 years this November, which is really cool, since I was 18. And I had a customer come in. It was a wife, a husband, and her two kids. And they came in, sat down at my desk, and they wanted new phones. So we're talking about all the things, right? And the whole time, the mother was really interactive. The kids were really interactive. But the husband, the father, was like sitting back. Just, I had this vibe that he just did not like salespeople. So he was just like sitting back the whole time like this. Whenever a decision had to be made, he was the decision maker. So she would look at him and he'd be like, he would nod his head if it was okay to do something. Anyways, time goes on. I help them. They leave. Next month, they come back in. They help the rest of their family. They leave. They come back in the next month because they had a problem. Okay. So now 3 months have gone by. I expect nothing, right? They have a problem. Not a big problem, but easy for me to fix, but a big problem for them. I fixed the problem. They were over the moon about it. They're like, thank you so much for fixing this. However we can help you, let us know. And they left. The next month, I get a call. It was from this guy who was at my desk with his arms crossed, everything like that. And because I was slightly intimidated by him and didn't know how to properly read him, I never asked him questions about him, about, are you in business? What do you do? Things like that, which was my mistake. But he called me and he's like, hey, Brandon, this is, I'll say his name is Joe. It's not his name, but this is Joe. And you took really great care of me, my wife, my kids. He's like, I was going to put this order through on the Verizon website, he said. He's like, it's for over 40 new devices for all my trucks around upstate New York, which is a big deal, by the way. And he's like, but before I put this order through, I wanted to call you and see if this would help you because you helped us. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, that would absolutely help me. I'll take care of you better than the website can, so on and so forth. So I end up helping him with this deal. And it was one of the biggest deals I've had in the 11 years that I've worked here, all because I did a great job at helping them the first time. I solved their problem the second time. I did it without expectation of them doing a deal. I didn't even know he owned the business that he owned. But it just goes to show, if you meet people, you take care of people, you learn about people, then things always come back around. If you help other people, that value will come back around to you as well. Mm.
I can give a really short seed planting example and then a bigger example. So recently I planted a seed. Someone reached out to me via email, young, great resume, just out of college, looking for a role in marketing. I'm not hiring. Transparently, I don't have the revenue to hire somebody with that much potential right off the bat. So I went and I made 5 introductions for him. Who knows what'll happen, but you're putting value out. You're spreading his name out. People appreciate that you care about him. He attended the Grow Getters event last night, had a fun time, told me that he appreciated it. I reminded him that one of the speakers, Christy Mitchell, is also from our hometown of Rochester, New York. And I said, send Christy a LinkedIn message. She might have some recommendations for you. So again, I have nothing to gain here, but if I plant a seed and help this gentleman, who knows how it'll come back around? And even if it doesn't, the world's a better place if you're helping people along the way. My bigger example is I worked for a company, got let go in 2019 as part of an acquisition, got transferred to a new firm. The short version is it stunk, and it led to me starting my business and helping run these Grow Getters event and creating networking-based content like podcasting. And 3 years later, one of the leadership members of the company I used to work for reaches out to me and says, no guarantees, but I'm going to put in a good word for you. We want to hire you to help us.
Wow.
So I went from getting furloughed, let go, to, quote, Ben, you were the one that got away. And I'm humble bragging right now, but they literally said, you are the one that got away. I understand you probably don't want to come and work for us, but would you be willing to come and work as a third party and partner with us?
Wow.
And he had attended 2 to 3 of the live events. He had listened to the podcast. I was just networking, putting out content, and trying to add value. Not once did I call this company and say, hey, I want to work with you again. But they've always been in the back of my mind. I built some great relationships there. They came to me because of the example A. I went and just tried to add as much value as I could into people's lives. And then the right people often reach out to you. It's not like I just showed up at a networking event and signed a contract. You never know how it's going to come back around and help.
That's so cool, dude. That's fantastic.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. They might, you know, kick me to the curb again, but I love them. I hope they don't.
I mean, I think that just goes to show you the actual ripple effect of networking, yeah. Right? You don't know how things you do right now are going to affect you down the road or who's watching. And I can't tell you how many times, like, I have a lot of networking examples, but I have a lot that are around jobs. So not me getting the job or finding a job, it's helping other people find the job. Mm-hmm. Just getting that connection, you know, giving a couple of networking tips and tricks, and getting, you know, some people who didn't have a job or they didn't have a job that they liked and getting them into a position where they never thought they could ever, you know, get into or really high up position just because of, you know, a connection of a connection. I actually had somebody that came to one of my events recently, didn't really quite know who I was until he's like, oh, you know, I'm just going to add her on LinkedIn and realize we were already connected and apparently went through our old DMs to bring out context. And obviously my hair is blue right now, not purple. So God, I guess that throws people off. And he's like, I just have to say, like, you helped me get a job. Wow. And I was like, I thought I recognized your name, but you know, it's been a while. It was 2 years. It's been a while. And he was kind of telling me like what happened after the conversation I had with him. And he's like, you just gave me the confidence to kind of go out there. He's like, I was feeling very withdrawn because he lost his position. And I think it was like in the middle of COVID. And there was just a lot going on. And he's like, just, you know, having the, what is the complex? Like, you don't feel like you deserve the position sort of thing.
Imposter syndrome. Yeah.
Yes. So he's like, you really helped me kind of overcome that and be a little bit more confident. And he's like, yeah, I ended up getting this role. And he was talking about some of the connections I gave him. And he's like, yeah, I was able to finally get a position at, you know, whatever company he's at. And he's like, thank you so much for that, you know, that help. And it doesn't take time, right? Like, you know, like Ben was saying, like, there's not a lot of time that goes into just making those connections and bridging those gaps. And you just never know how it might come back. You know, cause people are also more willing to do it for you. You know, if you've spent that effort and time with somebody, when you need the help, right? You're looking for a job or you're looking for that next connection or you're trying to help somebody else out and you're like, hey, listen, I don't know anyone that's in this industry. Can you help? Do you know anyone that can help with that and, you know, help them solve that problem? That's where, like, you know, sometimes the networking bombs come into play because, a lot of people can look at that post and see like, oh, you know, I know somebody, and they'll tag somebody to that post and, oh, hey, you should connect with this person. They can help with that too.
Can you give a 30-second explanation of a networking bomb?
So a networking bomb, just, you know, another thing I invented about networking. I started doing those during COVID. So what it is whether you just met somebody or it's somebody that you already know, you make a post about them on LinkedIn. And it doesn't have to be crazy, but you could just say, hey, I just met with Brandon Eastman, you know, really cool guy, has a podcast, you know, here's some of the types of people you like to be connected to. And then you tag people to that post. So you can either do it in the post itself or in the comments, and you tag people that you genuinely think would enjoy having a conversation with this person. Now, what happens when you do this, whether it's on LinkedIn, Facebook, you could do this on Instagram as well, is it opens up the floodgates because those people are usually not, may not be connected, right? And if you have second or third connection, sometimes it's harder, if we're talking about LinkedIn, it's harder to get that connection, right? But it opens the door. The people that you tag, their networks also see this. They might actually get an alert in LinkedIn that somebody made a post. And then it will alert your attention because people like notifications, right? They like the notification. Okay, I'm going to go look at that, what that post is. Now other people are seeing that. You're going to get a lot of eyes on a post when you do a networking bomb, and it's very successful. It's a very great way to blow somebody up in a very simple way. It literally takes less than a minute to make a post, you know, tag 15 people. It takes not a lot of time to do that. And it can be your regular people that you do on a regular basis. But I have found such huge success with it. I'll do it. You can do it like in a DM as well, right? But then no one else really sees it. And I feel like DMs kind of get lost. So I'll ask permission from people if they want, you know, me to kind of blast them out on, you know, on social media, but I'm like, hey, here's what I'm going to do. Hopefully that's okay. I don't always ask either. I'll just do it sometimes, but yeah, I highly recommend.
And I do like the DMs personally, because I don't know if anyone else does listening, but my content calendar is pretty full. So I utilize DMs where I don't have to use space on my feed and algorithm says I'm posting too much. Sometimes I'll just send 5 DMs, but I'll copy paste it. So the intro is virtually the same. But if you feel like you're not comfortable doing it on a post, I've personally found success just doing it in a direct message, add 4 people to the direct message. That's actually exactly how you introduced Brandon and I and Caleb and a couple other people at that time. So yeah. I do want to be an advocate for the DMs as an approach that, for me, I think has worked.
That was the best day of my life, Ben.
The best day of wow. Don't you have a kid now and a wife?
You don't have to tell them. Yes. So in this time we have remaining, how do you transition from that? In this time we have remaining, maybe we can talk about the best ways to go about networking in the new year. The new year's upon us. We've gotten a taste of the virtual. People are back in action at in-person events. They've been back for a year, year and a half. So what can we do moving forward? And I think one of the biggest mistakes that I made at the beginning is I was very much like that one person, that one client of mine, who filled their calendar with networking and just wanted to meet anyone and everyone, wasn't intentional about it, didn't know the type of person I wanted to meet. And I was burnt out. I got to the point where I would see a Zoom call on my calendar and I would say, man, I've been on Zoom for 3 hours today. I don't want to do another Zoom call. I don't want to meet this person. And it wasn't anything to do with them. It was because I misprioritized my time. And what my mentor at the time said to me is, Brandon, I meet a lot of people too. And he's like, and I often get burnt out. So what I did was I chose one day of my week, which for me, it's a Thursday, where I'm able to schedule all of my networking conversations that I want to have. I schedule them for 15 minutes. Some people do 30, some 45. I found that you can cover in 15 minutes everything that you normally would cover in 30 to 45 minutes. There's a law out there. I forget what the law is called, but it pretty much says whatever amount of time.
Parkinson's law.
Parkinson's law?
Yep.
Okay.
The time you allot for something is how much time you'll take to do it.
And it's so true. If you allot 15 minutes and you're very intentional about that, then you'll get talking about in 15 minutes what it would normally take an hour to talk about. So I make all my calls 15 minutes. And listen, if it's the last call of the day and we're having a really good conversation, which often happens, you speak for a little bit longer, right? But people like when you respect their time too. So choosing one day that you want to network and being very intentional about that time is so important. But moving forward, like, what are the best ways that you guys envision networking going? How are you networking now? What are your favorite strategies?
I'll talk about a brand new concept that I haven't talked about before that I love. I learned it from James Altucher. He calls it plus minus equals. And a plus is often a mentor, someone you're learning from. A minus is a mentee or a client you're serving. And then equals is someone that's a peer, possibly they're clients, but they're peers. You're learning from each other. So I would ask myself this question: who are my plus, minus, and equals? Who are the people that I want to learn from, and who are the people that I want to be peers? And then who do I or the people that I can help and or mentee? Be a mentor of. I'm stumbling all over my words, guys. New concept. And then the second thing you want to ask is, how can I add value into their life? So oftentimes a mentor needs advocates and supporters. So maybe you learn something. Maybe I learned something from Christine. She's mentoring me. I post, I tag her in it, and I introduce her to my network. That's being a good mentee and adding value to a plus, you know, sharing the message, sharing the post, liking and commenting on their post. An equal, maybe you're making connections with one another. Maybe you're making referrals for one another. You're finding ways that you can help each other. And then a minus, that's a scenario where, again, maybe you're making an introduction for someone who's looking for a job, or maybe you're coming in with your products and services and solutions that can help them. And actually serving as, you know, a partner, and they become your client. But it's like, what do my pluses need? It's often for you to be an advocate. What do my peers need? It's often peer support, collaboration, things like that. And what do my minuses need? It's often a mentor, assistance, guidance, help. Every industry is going to be different. Write down who those kinds of people are, what they need, and then just be mindful when you're reaching out to people on how you can actually help add value based on your predetermined intention. And I guess the one thing I want to add, because this is very systematic, is being open to flow. Go motion with the ocean. It's like surfboarding. You might think that you might have an intention that this is the kind of thing this person needs, and they tell you otherwise, you're going to need to pivot. So kind of determine your intention, kind of determine the categories of people that you want to work with, you want to help, who you can add value to, and then be willing to pivot. And thank you guys. I literally just thought this through on the spot. So that's hope great. That was clear. And I hope that's helpful.
Very. I love that framework. That's very helpful. Plus, minus, equals.
Cool. I'll share one. So I'm in the process of doing this right now, and that is a profile cleanup. So I'm going on to my LinkedIn, going through and just kind of fixing things, making sure my description is accurate, looking at my job listings, making sure those things are accurate, at my previous roles, making sure that my background picture matches, making sure that the next steps as someone interacts with my profile, like, it's very clear. It's clear what's supposed to happen. It's obvious to them what they're supposed to do. Are they supposed to go check out my podcast? Are they supposed to start networking with me? Are they, you know, what are we doing here? And be extremely intentional about that, because that's the way you're going to show up, at least in a virtual format. That's the way you're going to show up. And so start by kind of doing that full scrub of your profile, and then start trying to show up for the people that you are trying to network with. And so maybe you have like a target list of certain types of people you want to be networking with. Start following up with them. Start following them. Start commenting on their stuff or commenting on the stuff that they're commenting on. You know, just, even just a little, you know, like or a heart or whatever once in a while can be helpful. It puts your name a little bit more top of mind. And that is probably, I would say, step one of at least leveraging LinkedIn as an opportunity to improve your networking game. And I know for all of us, we create content and we also host and run podcasts. And those things are like, it's like gasoline on the fire of networking. It makes networking so much easier. Because instead of being like, hey, can I pick your brain for an hour? You know what I mean? Everyone would say no to that question, right? But hey, I'd like to invite you on my podcast where we can talk about X, Y, and Z. All of a sudden, it's a totally different game. It's so much easier, especially if you're trying to network your way up. It's so much easier to reach out to people that are 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 or 20 steps ahead of where you are, where you're like, man, this person's totally out of my league. But like, when you have a podcast, when you have like something of that nature, whether it's a podcast or whether you work for some sort of publication, you're a journalist of some kind, whatever it is, even if you're a part-time journalist and you do 2 articles a year, right? You're still a journalist for that organization, right? And now you can kind of use that as your golden key to chat with somebody. You can kind of trade on the name brand and say, hey, I'm a journalist for such and such thing, or hey, I'm a podcaster, I do this. And all of a sudden now, instead of just being Joe Schmo, you're now a person that has access to something that they don't have. You're a media person. You can then put them and their brand in front of other people. And when you can do that, it makes it so much easier to connect with people that are out of your league. And I always use this example. You look at someone like Tim Ferriss, who at the start of his career, like he did a couple like weird things. Like he did a couple of like Guinness Book of World Records, a bunch of random stuff. But it was really his podcast that set him apart. And so he created this show and he's reaching out to these people that are totally out of his league, but he's one of the first people that was really at. All right, I'm back. I had to have a dramatic pause again.
said he was one of the first people to.
Got it. He's one of the first people to start really leveraging interview-based podcasts in a way where he's reaching up to other people that are out of his league. But now he's a household name. He is one of those people that's out of other people's leagues, right? Mm. Where you look up to him. But it started as just like this kind of random guy going out there and providing that media appearance for people. So those would be a couple tips I have is brush up your LinkedIn profile. Make sure you're following and connecting with those people on there that you're meant to. And then the other piece is get yourself a golden key, like podcasting or content creation. And it is so much easier to do the reach ups and the reach outs.
Podcasting has been the greatest way to meet new people. And I've gotten to the point now where I don't really hop on 15 to 30 minute networking calls at all anymore. I like to meet people on the podcast. And I know that some people say, well, I like to meet my guest first. That's great. I still do my research on that guest. I make sure that they'd be a good fit. I make sure that their topic and what they do and talk about aligns with the show. But it's been fantastic to meet people, have the same conversation almost that you'd have if you did meet one-on-one, but now everybody gets to tune in and learn from this conversation. And like you said, Andrew, now you're promoting that person, you're helping to build their brand. At the end of almost every one of my shows, the person always says, how can I help you? Who can I introduce you to? Because you are then a media channel that's getting them in front of even just one or two other people. And as your show grows, it's even more people from there. And then you can go many different avenues to meeting more people. And then your guests say, I want to introduce you to this person. I interviewed the drummer for John Mellencamp, like one of my favorite all-time artists ever, because I met this man named Dr. Rob Bell. And he helps athletes with their mental game is what he does, mostly golfers and teams like that. And he had a book that I read because he sent it to me before the podcast. And the foreword of the book was done by this drummer for John Mellencamp. And I was like, whoa, this guy sounds awesome. I love Kenny Aronoff is his name. And he's been the drummer for many people. John Bon Jovi, John Mellencamp, CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, a lot of different people. So imagine if I want to talk to those guys, who am I going to reach out to? I'm going to reach out to Kenny. But I had him on the show. He's doing the show in his recording room with all his platinum records behind him on the wall. And it just makes me feel like I wouldn't have been able to talk to him if I didn't have a podcast to offer him. So a podcast has allowed me to meet really cool people that I otherwise wouldn't have had a chance to talk to. I'm not saying go start a podcast, but it's certainly a really good way to both meet new people and network, which I guess they both go hand in hand. How about you, Christine? You've already dropped a lot of bombs here today.
Do you have anything else? So I would say, you know, on your networking journey, don't assume everyone's going to be at the top. So when I teach like networking coaching, I actually use the triangle as an example. All the people in your network, only 10% of them are going to be the people that you put the most time, effort, and communication in. And that 10% could be a very small number. It could be like 15 to 20 people. And figuring out, well, who are those 15 to 20 people? Who are the people you're going to talk to and be around on a regular basis? And the other people kind of not necessarily fall by the wayside and you don't talk to them, but they go down the triangle. So you're not spending as much time with them. You're not communicating with them as regularly. Some people, not at all. Some people you meet with them and then you're not meeting with them again. So don't put effort into people that aren't giving it back. So, you know, as you go up the triangle, there are things that are more reciprocal. You're getting that energy back from them. So it's, you know, especially if you're a high empath, you need that back to be able to give it back to other people. So just think about that when you're networking, that just because, you know, they're not as receptive to you doesn't mean they're not a part of your circle, but they're definitely not somebody you should be spending a lot of time with.
Absolutely. Great advice. Guys, there's been a lot of gems in this episode. A lot of the comments say the same thing. James Kunkel, it's great to see you, brother. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a lot of fun talking about networking, how it's changing moving forward, how you can utilize it the most, get the most effectiveness out of it, save yourself some time and meet some really cool people, both for your business, for your career, whatever it is that you want to grow and pursue. We talked about it, and that is networking. Stay tuned, I should say, for Ben Albert's poll that he posts every single month. If you're not following Ben, go follow Ben Albert on LinkedIn. And be sure to check out that poll. We're going to share it too so that you can vote on the topic that you want to hear about next month, LMNO. So O is the next letter that we are going to be focusing on. Yes, I did the alphabet in my head. And from there, we're probably going to take several topics. You guys correct me if I'm wrong, but we talked about this for a few minutes. We might take several of those topics if they're highly voted on and make a joint episode of several things. So we're really going to spice it up next month. Be sure to vote on your favorite topic and stay tuned for the next episode of the Lunch Break ABCs. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. And we will talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Peace.
Oh, hey, you're still here. Thanks for listening. If you need to take off, that's quite all right. I do have something brand new and exclusive to share. If you believe more hands-on training, peer accountability, and direct access to some of our guests from this very show would be a helpful addition to the podcast, do me a favor and head over to growgettersonly.com. That's grow. GROW Getters, GETTERS only.com, growgettersonly.com. Here you can unlock instant access to exclusive high level mentors, training, networking, accountability, and hot seat coaching alongside fellow growth obsessed entrepreneurs and business professionals just like yourself. All for guess what? $1. That's right, $1 for 30 days. What's a grow-getter? In short, a growth-focused individual, especially in the business realm, who combines the relentless energy of a go-getter with a constant pursuit of self-improvement and collaboration. Is that you? Head to growgettersonly.com for some community support. This is not for you if you're looking for a quick fix rather than long-term growth. Collaboration and learning from others just doesn't seem to appeal to you. You're not ready to be part of a community that relentlessly pushes boundaries. Complacency is your comfort zone. It's not for you. If it is for you, and if you didn't turn this off yet, I do presume
you're a Grow Getter. And I'd love to invite you to join my new collective, Grow Getters Only. Basically, cost to check it out, $1 for a month. It's basically free. Everything is over at growgettersonly.com. Just like I said, growgettersonly.com. Oh yeah, and one last thing. We do put on free events as well if you can't afford the dollar. Jokes aside, I'll see you on the inside. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you.